This is CliffCentral.com. The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Buzz on CliffCentral.com. My name is Jason von Berg.
Hello, Jason.
Hello,
and I'm
Nikita
Camacho.
Hi, Nikita Camacho. How are you?
I'm very well, and you?
I'm good. I'm happy it's Friday again.
I know, it's been a while since we've chatted.
Only a week.
I know, it's been a week, but you know, you were here in spirit, so it wasn't face-to-face.
Yeah, last week I was a little bit preoccupied, I guess you could say.
A little bit. But I can see you didn't get too much of a bad sunburn or anything like that.
If I show you pictures, you'll understand
why. Oh, is it
why
a week later? Because
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just, so in case a lot of people are wondering, I did the Ironman competition over the weekend.
Whoop-whoop.
And it was in the Eastern Cape, and it was cooking. It was at least 30 degrees in April, so the Eastern Cape was showing me flames, but good flames, hot flames. But it was so hot that the volunteers at the transition areas, which is where you kind of get your bike or your running shoes, just caked me with sunblock. They were like,
"Ooh,
I can see
one.
You.
This one burns.
This one is pale, very pale. He won't sit well in the sun for 42 kilometers or 180 kilometers. And we need to cake him with sunblock." So they put so much sunblock on me to the point that I looked like Casper the Ghost.
And, but you know what? Kudos to them for doing that. You know, not often that you see people caking on all the sunscreen,
yeah.
Especially during a race.
So. I should be an ambassador for sunscreen because I'm like I could literally just reflect. No sun was coming anywhere near me. So.
Well, especially with all the races you do, so it's a good excuse.
Anyway, cool. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to, buddy?
Well, last week we had the Sony Upfront, so we're seeing what was going on. This week we just saw some new shows launching on air.
We'll talk about lip sync battles. I think we should.
Yes, that's a big one. And
what's
especially
the big one?
I was looking
the former lovers.
Yeah, the former lovers. And then next week will be I think it's the 21st. Is every Friday is a new episode?
Thursdays.
Or Thursdays, eh? Yes, yeah. It's a Thursday. And then what happens with this, the next coming episode will be Metro FM versus 5FM.
Oh, hectic.
So it's a bit, I thought.
They should have Cliff Central. We don't care about those stations.
I know, exactly. That's why I was like, come on, guys. We didn't get our invite. I think we'd totally rock it. I think we would.
Yeah.
It's, oh, you
it's
don't
a good
so? Con-
no, it's a
Jay,
good. It's
I
a,
can
no,
see
of course we would. We would rock it hard because obviously this is unscripted, so there's no shame here, you know.
Exactly.
We dress up like Casper was. Well, we shouldn't talk about this now. We should talk about that later because I want to get to someone who is sitting with us. She is representing the Eastern Cape. So that's why that was the link with the Eastern Cape. Now she's in studio with us. The famous, the talented, the gorgeous Brenda. Hello.
I was waiting for you to say my surname.
I can't do the click. Ngoli.
Ngoli.
Teach me which click. Where is it? Where do I roll?
Okay,
on the
it's on the side between your on the side of your mouth.
Okay.
Between your teeth, it's that. There we go.
Brenda.
Ngoli.
Ngoli.
Yeah, just
almost
stay that side. Ngoli. There we go. Ngoli.
Okay, well, welcome to the studio,
thank
Brenda.
You. Now that we've jumped over my surname.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And
good.
How are you guys?
No, well, we're good.
We're doing fabulous so
yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
Well, we can't complain. It's a Friday.
Of course. But you can't complain either because this is a big year for you.
Yes,
15
years.
15 years. In this industry. Gorgeous.
Yes, it is. It feels like it was yesterday.
Does it?
It just feels like it's a reminder that I've been around for quite some time. You know, I'm turning 36 this year. Which
you don't look a day over 25.
Thank you.
I agree.
You guys are just too polite. But thanks, though. I'll take that on.
So 15 years in this industry, you've obviously seen a hell of a lot of change and a hell of a lot of growth for you personally.
Mm.
When you started out, did you think that you would be here 15 years later? Did you always believe that you would still be doing what you started out to do?
I never really thought that far.
Okay.
You know, I just remember my first big advert was the Polka ad. And
was that 15 years ago?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it was 15 years ago. Because I remember doing, there was another ad, Lilo Rice and Potatoes. I think it was like an MTN ad.
Okay.
And you just kind of do the ads and then you realize that fame has hit you. And then 15 years later, you realize, oh, geez, I'm famous. You know, and yeah, it's it's got its challenges, but it's also great times. You know, I've always decided not to be somebody who hustles and tries to be on the next soapy. I've never done soapies. I only do like TV dramas and things that I find that are educational or uplifting to black people in particular. So I think it's exciting times for South Africa, but I also think it's trying times for the entertainment industry in South Africa.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, exploitation is rife.
Okay.
Mediocrity is rife. We find a lot of people that who aren't really trained who are on our TV screens. Production companies are shadier than ever before. Producers, come on, I'm not one of those famous people who's gonna be like, oh, we like a family. There's no family. There's exploitation.
Okay.
There are egos in the entertainment industry.
We know this. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, those are the challenges that come with it. Obviously, there are perks that come with it,
sure.
But the perks are more on a personal level. You know, depending on what you think you're, why you in the entertainment industry. So I think I always think that I'm in the entertainment industry as my contribution to the social, political and economical well-being and health of our country. I hope that being in the entertainment industry for about 15 years as a black child who started out as a domestic worker's daughter, I encourage other young black children to keep their head ups, not do couch auditions, but, you know, go and study and respect the arts and respect themselves.
So do you think that it is imperative that you get some sort of tertiary, or not even
Definitely.
Tertiary, but you know,
get some form of education, whether it's self-education. There are books, exclusive books, have like a lot of books. There are libraries. I definitely encourage people to read and hone their skills, because I always say, people usually say, oh, Brenda, you know, help me get a job or help me do this. And I say, if you want to be a heart surgeon, you don't stand outside Baragwanath Hospital and say, hey, throw me a heart, you know.
<That's true.
laughs>
Yeah, so
there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yes, and I think that's also why our stars or so-called celebrities, our country doesn't see us as brand ambassadors for the country. You know, instead of building us, they'll say, oh, I know Brenda Ngoli, she'll actually do this, and I know her, you can get her for cheap, she's really talented, she's really good at improv, and see how you can use her. Whereas overseas, they'll build brands that they can sell overseas, because they're building a South African brand, which then makes you wonder, why are we not then having those brands? One can look at it in many different ways. From my perspective, it just seems that maybe, I don't know, maybe the money is still in, I don't know,
in the wrong hands.
Yes, the hands that it's always been in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then if you've been in the industry for 15 years, it's a long time to be in this industry. A lot of people lose, you know, they come, they're on TV for an hour, then they think they're the biggest stars, and then they drift away and no one gives a damn anymore. So it's a branding exercise, and it's reinventing yourself throughout the process as well for 15 years. and it's also aligning yourself with people that are, I guess, who have your best interests at heart.
Especially from your management perspective.
Exactly.
Because as I'm saying, as a black child, it's very easy for you to get exploited. There is no money for black children. I'll just be like that honest. But also at the same time, I've always been one who believes that my acting or my entertainment, it's a way of life rather than it's something that I have to hustle. Hence, I live in the villages. I've just recently had a publicist and stuff like that. I've never had a publicity team.
Okay.
I don't attend functions like I need to be seen.
That's
somewhere.
What I was going to say. Yeah. You don't see on the social scene a lot.
Yes, no, I do not do the social scene. I believe that my skills and the characters that I portray should speak for themselves and hopefully touch the viewers that they meet.
Okay.
And I think that's where the difference comes in between actors and actresses who are doing it for the art, doing it to bring a message across, like you said, a lot of socioeconomic things that are happening in South Africa, as opposed to just being, you know, you get some people actually just fame whores you know, they use the social media and be like, I want to be famous. And then, like Joe said, it's not going, they're not going to last, they won't last for 15 years. They will be here, one hit wonder. They'll be here for a little bit and then we'll move on to the next thing. So I think, like you said, you have to be in it for the right reasons and not let that fame get to your head.
Yes, because fame can also get to you.
Have you ever had that where, you know, when you started out, did you feel like you were Brenda pre the adverts and the TV screens and, you know, people recognizing you to now people going, oh, word, there's that lady. Maybe they didn't know your name at that stage.
I went from being the Parker girl. I mean, I've been called every single advert name to eventually being there's Brenda Ngoli. And I always said that my wish was that when people see me, they must say there's Brenda Ngoli, the talented actress. You know, when I was nominated for the International Emmys, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe the world is also seeing me. I'm the first black South African ever to be nominated for an International Emmy. Not as a group, but as an individual. Mm. So I was like, oh yeah, okay, now it's getting there. But yeah, fame is, look, I started out, I was 20. You're going to be arrogant, but it also comes, fame is also an ugly beast because then you've got 50 odd million eyes that know you.
And that want a
picture.
Business.
Yes, that want a picture, that that are quite intrusive. I think our as South Africans, I think we are a traumatized nation. We've got a rude nation as well. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to receive love. And that's not a, it's not surprising. We're a product of apartheid, and both black and white when I say that, because both or all of us and the in-betweens or whoever is, whatever color you are, we are victims of apartheid. And because of that, I think that the way we express ourselves in our intimate spaces is quite questionable, you know. So when you are famous, you feel it more because now you are almost public property, and everybody just wants to do as they wish with you.
No, it's true. I mean, it's scary. I mean, you can look at, I use Bonang as an example. Her love life is constantly splashed all over the pages. Mm. Then you've got Casper and Boitie. And now they broke up and everyone wants to know, why did you break up? Why didn't you tell us that you broke up? And quite frankly, why should we care that they broke up?
I'd say, why did we know in the beginning?
Yeah.
Look, I'm turning 36 years old and it doesn't mean that I haven't had any lovers along the way. But I think also, look, it's also up to you what you want to share. I'm quite let's talk about my acting. Let's talk about the last thing that I did. Let's talk about the last corporate gig I either emceed or was acting in. But let's not talk about my personal life. So it depends.
So I can't
how
go
you
there,
also.
Hey, Brenda.
No, you can't. There's also nothing there. I mean, apart from the fact that I'm single, I like hot men, you know, who do Iron Man races in the Eastern Cape.
I'll see you at the next race.
Yeah,
then. Okay.
I'll be waiting for you in East London.
Look, I'm PE.
Oh, was it in PE?
You're going to come to PE. There's also one in East London. Yeah.
Okay.
That's half.
Oh, is that the half?
And I've completed the full.
Oh, okay.
I am an Iron Man.
Oh,
I'm not
really?
Half an Iron Man.
Like, come show me in the village how Iron Man
okay.
is.
Okay, so let's talk about the work that you're up to at the moment. I mean, I just look at your discovery and what you've done. I mean, you've done Hustle, you've done Rockville, you've done My Perfect Family, Cha-Cha.
My Perfect Wedding,
My Perfect Wedding, First Lady,
number one
ladies
detective. Yes, with Jill Scott.
With Jill Scott, which is a great show.
Yes,
I don't know why it didn't continue.
I don't know either. I was very excited. It was like, I'm acting. I was like, Scott.
You were in Botswana for that, weren't you?
Yes.
And it was a great show, really. I remember that very, very clearly.
I loved it. I even bought a camera and thought I'd ask Jill Scott for a picture and I never got around to doing it.
Well, you've got yourselves on camera with her, don't you?
I mean, on screen. But I thought I would be like, oh, can I please get a picture? I love this. I was like, no, I ain't going down like that. It's like, Jill.
How's it, Jill? How are you? Film-wise, you've done all this, all Spuds.
Yes, I've
which
done
is
all
also
the Spuds,
lots of fun. And so you know Troye Sivan.
Yes.
Doing amazing
absolutely
things at the moment.
Well,
So what?
And Casper Lee is also doing
Casper
quite well,
Lee.
Yeah.
Well.
YouTube sensational stars.
I don't even want to talk about them as YouTube sensations. Have you thought about doing a YouTube show?
Look, I do have a YouTube channel. It's called My Essay Rocks with Brenda Ngoli. But you see the way I am. I'm pretty chilled, like, in my private life. So I'll post once in a while. You know? It's not... I'm not that type of person. Let me chill. The fame is there. The attention I've had. And really, what's next?
Move on, yeah.
Yeah, let's look at the next character that I'm playing. But I've actually just finished shooting a show called Hustle.
Okay.
It is on ETV. Something Ekasi Plus, whatever that HD, but the people can wait for it on general ETV.
Okay.
It's coming out in June, and it's a story. It's loosely based around the Lebo Mathosas and the Brenda Fassies, it's deals with the music industry of South Africa. Mm. So yeah, I play like the main lead in the story, and yeah, that's like something that I'm really looking forward to.
So that's June.
Yes, John, hustle.
Hustle in June. Yeah, you see, you do hustle.
Hustle in winter. No, I don't hustle.
You hustle for the hustle.
No, I do not hustle. I always say that I'm not a prostitute for my talent.
Of course, yeah.
I don't jump from one set to the other. I choose the things that I engage in. Because I also realize that not only am I ambassador for my village and for all those domestic workers' daughters, I'm also an ambassador for the Xhosa Nation.
Yeah.
So I don't, I take my existence in the entertainment industry quite seriously. I want that when brands align themselves with me, whether I'm doing like an ad or whatever, or I'm a brand ambassador, I need to be a trustworthy
and authentic.
A trustworthy and real. I'm not a celeb. I just happen to be famous and well known.
Okay. Yeah. So hustle is in June, and have you got any other projects that you're working on?
No,
as well?
Except not at the moment. The project of getting home to my animals. That's the only thing.
What animals do you have? Can I ask that?
Yes.
Okay.
We have cows. We have
how many cows?
You can't ask me that.
Is that not loud? Is that true?
This is like me asking you what's in your, how much is in your bank account?
Again?
Cool. That's how I see it. Yeah, but we have cows.
Okay. Multiple, yeah.
That's more than one.
Yeah, more than one.
Yeah.
We've got geese, chickens, a whole lot of chickens. We've got. I've just invested in sheep, so like now I'm exploring like the sheep market to see what that does for me.
Okay.
Yeah, cattle are quite hard to maintain. They're quite expensive.
Yeah.
So I need to get to those and my life in the lollies.
Yeah, okay. It's quite a different it's quite a different lifestyle when you're dealing with the animals as well. I've had to do my fair share over school holidays. Branding cows, I've done that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, that's what, when Dad says you're gonna come help on, he says you're not gonna, it's holidays, you're not gonna sit on your boat, come outside.
Oh. Yeah, I need to like help. I mean, I've just had a herdsman, but before then I was doing everything on my own,
and that's so,
like,
hard.
Yeah, that was like I was like in touch.
You were the Iron Woman.
You have to show who's boss, so. Sometimes it's just.
And those are the animals, you know what I mean? They are animals. They will come after you. They've got big horns. Ooh, and they will deal with you.
They don't care if they've seen you on TV or anything.
No, they'll kick that TV, including you.
So I got a question from Duncan. He said to me, how much do cows go for? Are you allowed to say that? Am I allowed to ask that?
Yes. Yeah, you can.
It depends on the cow.
Yes, it definitely depends on the cow. It depends on the breed. But nothing less than 10 grand.
Yeah.
That's also like at what stage. I mean, I'm saying, if you're selling it for purposes of slaughtering immediately, it would be nothing less than 10 grand. But calves also go, like, if you're investing in getting them, they go for a lot less than that.
Okay.
No, it's quite a ball game when you get into it, especially if you get a bull, then you get a whole, sometimes you get a folder, you get a sperm count, you get a vial.
I'm just doing it as because I don't say I have a farm. We are homesteaders. That's how people live in the villages. They live that life of having, you know, that, and that's, it's also taught me the notion that people who are uneducated and people who are living in the villages are poor. You know, I think it would be nice if people would be encouraged to take more pride in their land, because there is a question of land and land reform and people getting back the land. But it's also, it needs to be an issue of people loving the land and people believing in their land. I think that people of color have, obviously there's capitalism, there's imperialism, there's colonization to blame for all these things. There's apartheid or but I think this whole life, people are going green, you know, all of a sudden going green, water harvesting is the in thing. That's what the people in the villages have been doing
for years.
The veg gardens is like, you know what I mean? So then you say, who's educated and who's actually uneducated? I look at places like Danefern, and it's got like that shit cube all across it. And I look at the rolling hills of the Eastern Cape, and that woman who's got that hut, mud hut that's made out of grass that is breathing.
It doesn't leak.
It's healthier than cement. And then you say, oh, who's poor actually now? Then you realize that if only they could also realize that they are living on golf estates instead of coming to a encourage capitalism in the cities and live like rats in Alex. You know, I honestly think that places after apartheid, Alex and the townships should have been closed down. It should be illegal too. It's sad that South Africans.
When you see how South Africans live these days in the cities, just because of urbanization and because of what's, you know, this is where the money is. So you need to provide for your families.
Sustainable living. I'm surprised that even in these fancy houses of Houghton and whatever Bryanston, I don't see any water tanks. Yet everybody's talking about the water shortage.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing water harvesting, and then it needs to be somebody else's problem. It can't be the government's problem. You also need to take some form of responsibility, because you've got a big garden and a huge lawn that you're watering. So why aren't you investing in a George or whatever those water tanks are? And then you're going to complain when there's water shortage. Really?
So do you do a lot of sustainability work? I mean, is this something that you kind of want to branch into, or is it something that is just kind of around you? So, because, I mean, you speak about it and you're very passionate about it. They can see that, you know, and it's just as passionate about your craft, which is acting.
Yes, yes.
So,
I guess I should combine the two.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, you probably do.
Maybe I should have like a reality show.
Or even like just a project or a campaign that you actually focus on sustainability and how to show people what they can do with it, with the skills.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd love to get into those kind of things. But I think at the moment, one of the things that I'm focusing in is living. You know, I think we spend a lot of time working and saying that I'm going to work hard so that I can live my best life at like 50 or 60. By that time, you're a croc, you're finished. Yeah. You know,
your kids are still living off you.
Yeah, you should be living your best life now.
Yeah.
And I also talking about getting into one of the other things that I'd like to get into that has been on my mind is promoting a new revolution, not a political revolution, but a spiritual revolution, a revolution that reminds us that we are animals of the human race, and we need to then kind of wake up those fairies, those gods, those ancestors to remind us who are we, and I also promote like the culture of love, you know, and I think that once we can get into those kind of spiritual realms, opening up our third eyes to kind of see the human beings and the flowers that are around us, then we'll actually start living, and everything else will be secondary, and we actually won't have any beef with each other, because we'll actually realize we're all animals. And then from there, the sustainable living will come. It won't matter what religion you are, because we'll realize that we are just like the lions. It's just that we are smarter than them.
Well, look, we
need to give some credit to the human race. I think that's why we are up to no good and treating each other so bad. It's because we are so clever.
Yeah.
Too clever for our own good.
Brenda,
yes,
we have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
Brenda, this is too deep. Now get out of here.
No. We could talk to you for days.
We could do this for back here. We could do this the rest of the
day. No, I mean, I really am. But we've got Albert waiting as well. And he's also got a dash off.
Yes.
But it's been awesome having you in the studio with us. Please, will you come back?
Yeah, okay, I will. You know, I must say that I was a little bit like... I'm going to Cliff Central and Gareth Cliff. I'm not quite sure whether he's still racist or he's not. There are a whole lot of white people there, so I wonder how it's going to be. But I'm still in one piece. The sparrows didn't kill me.
There's no sparrows. Yeah. Don't worry about
that. But anyway, well, thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming through.
Thanks for coming through.
Cool. And enjoy your trip back to the Eastern Cape.
I shall. Thank you so much.
Tell them cows we said hi.
I shall do so. And I'll tell them you're on your way.
I am, yeah.
With a whole lot of other cars.
In June.
Yes.
And then we'll watch. Sure.
But do I have to tell you everything?
No, I know Lobola, but you'll be expensive.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing.
My uncles and grandfathers will tell you. Well, but I'll tell you this part. I only like Jersey cows and Brahmans. So you can start there.
Okay, and if you're going to give me
and Brahmans.
Okay.
And if you're going to come with sheep, merinos, and dormers only, please.
Oh, okay. We're taking notes. Whoa.
Okay. Like, well, luckily there's a podcast, because now I can revisit this and make sure I know how many I need to get. Because I can calculate. You haven't told me how many, but I can. I know the number. I'm not going to put it on air because that just puts me in trouble.
No, you can't. So. You can't. That's between the families.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my family will wait for your family.
Okay, I'll call you.
Okay, cool. I'll have to leave my number now. 03. No, I'm joking.
Okay, thank you so much to Brenda for dropping by today. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Albert Frost, who is going to be joining us and telling us about his journey in the music industry as well. We've got legends in the industry today, in our studio today. Sure. This is The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. Bit of goldfish right here on The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. That one is called 3 Second Memory. We have Albert Frost standing by. So stand by. He's coming up next.
Leonardo and Rita were finally taking their honeymoon, and they'd chosen the most luxurious honeymoon suite that money could buy.
On tonight's episode of Did You Know? Carbon monoxide, the silent killer.
The historic suite had every romantic necessity, including a generous 18th century indoor fireplace.
A lot of things can cause a CO spill, but the number one culprit is the indoor fireplace.
The enthusiastic lovebirds wasted no time, and within mere moments, the open flames were casting two bobbing shadows on the suite's ornate walls.
The initial symptoms of poisoning include breathlessness and disorientation.
Oh my, I feel breathless, gasped Rita. What planet are we on? Whispered Leonardo.
Inhaling the gas for a period of 20 minutes will start to weaken the muscles and can even lead to vivid hallucinations.
They lay limp in each other's arms before the fiery glow, while over in the corner, a Bengal tiger played the sitar. At Road Lodge, there's no chance of getting carbon monoxide poisoning from the fireplace because there is no fireplace. Road Lodge, the no-frills one-star hotel.
I could do with a little bit of that, eh? Yes, this is The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. I'm going to cough. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Excuse me while I die. In the studio. Sure. Okay. So, Albert Frost.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks for standing by as well.
All good.
We've been building the anticipation. Everybody's been waiting patiently to hear you. And here you are. You're in the Cliff Central studios.
Finally.
Is this your first visit to our...
It is. I thought I ordered Virgin with Cliff Central.
Oh, there we go.
Nikita, go easy, yeah?
Oh, that's fine. I'm very nice.
She's gentle.
He's a girl.
So it's again, we were chatting to Brenda now. She's been in the industry for 15 years. She's had a very long, illustrious, successful, probably tumultuous journey as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sure. Yourself as well. You've been in the industry. This is what, your third decade? You're going into your third decade.
Yeah, this is like, I mean, I brought out the first Blues album that I played guitar on, came out in 1994. So, it hasn't kind of stopped since then, you know.
22 years.
Yeah, it's a while.
Well, sure. Well, if I had a round of applause, this would be it, yeah.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, you've done the Blue Brewers. Yes. Started in 1994.
Yeah, because my father was the drummer in the band. So I didn't have much choice, really.
Oh, did he just basically tell you, listen, son,
this is
you?
No, it is actually very, very sweet. I mean, it's something that I grew into, and I learned so much because I was thrust into the company of really, really amazing musicians that had already been in the industry and doing their thing for 20 years when I jumped in. So everything I've learned, I have a lot to thank them for.
It's an amazing opportunity as well to be, you know, in the company of people who, like your father and other musicians for over 20 years.
It's amazing.
What were some of those lessons that you learned up front? Do you remember them?
The one thing is, firstly, everyone must play in the same key. That's crucial to be in the band.
I guess,
I get it.
How many attempts did that take before you?
No, I'm joking. It was, I mean, I got voted into the band, you know. I mean, I've been playing for a couple of years by the time I joined them, and I really have a love for blues. And what greater way to, you know, to learn from the guys that also love blues as much as I do. But I mean, it's like basic stuff. Like, everyone must listen to each other, you know. If someone's singing, you hang it back a little bit. It's like the gracious thing to do. And then, you know, my thing, I love playing guitar solos because it's a way that I speak, and you know, I learned on how to do that. And people don't, there's no school for that.
Yeah.
So and that also, and I think that it's instilled in me like an old school code, amongst musicians, which is, you know, positive, forward. The music is the key, excuse the pun. but it's about the music and not about all the stuff around it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to keep true to that. It's really quite tricky.
So you released 5 albums.
Yes, with the Blue Blues. It's all original and also contrary to the name, it's all English stuff.
Yeah. Blue Bulls. Blue Brews.
Blues Brews.
Blues Brews, yeah.
Yeah, that's there you it. Go. You got it.
Okay, finally, yeah.
5 round of applause. yeah, I mean, and obviously then I kind of got into... I mean, actually, the band I started in school was with Dave. That does Goldfish. You know, there's a whole bunch of connections and stuff.
You see, that's why I play Goldfish.
No, it's just it all makes sense. You know, we're all intricately connected in the industry. And obviously, when Arne Carstens went solo after the New Eagles broke up, we brought out 2 albums, Another Universe and Then Goodbye Boys. And that was a huge new learning curve for me. And subsequently, in the last 5 years, I've been kind of pushing my own thing. And I've been working on this fantastic album that's just come out called The Wake Up. It's the fruition of 20 years of learning and, you know, doing my thing.
It's like your little baby.
Yes, it's like I can go now.
It's 20, yeah. Daddy has paid for school.
Mission accomplished.
For primary school, high school, tertiary education. Now the baby is
that's
you're
it.
On your own. Yeah, go okay, do what you
okay,
think.
Okay, bye.
So tell us about like it, though.
Well, I mean, it's a departure from the blues for me. I mean, I'll always have the blues. It's man, it'll always be there, you know. But this album is a combination of like I was saying, all the stuff I've learned over the last 2 decades and being in this industry and collaborating with pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I look at the list. You've got Arno, who you mentioned, Chris Kumbase, Chris Chameleon. You've opened for or performed alongside Finley Quay. Ali Fakatura.
Yes.
You've worked with Simple Minds, with REM.
That's correct, yeah.
The list is endless. I mean, I don't want to blow your horn yet. Too no, much, you know what I mean?
But it's like I have to audition for myself. It's like hectic. Yeah, so I mean, all that stuff, I put into this one thing that I truly believe in, you know. And it's an eclectic mix of music, and I've got my elements that I've brought into it to essentially make it mean. And that's me coming out... The Wake Up, the whole concept is it's a new musical wake up for me. It's me kind of stepping out and willing to look at a broader spectrum of stuff.
Sure, that sounds really really cool. And I see you have your trusted best friend there.
Oh yes.
Does that mean that you are gonna entertain us?
Well, it's inevitable, I suppose. Huh?
No, it is.
So, who wants to hear a little bit of Albert Frost right here on the buzz?
No, safety.
I do. Nikita and I do. Duncan does. Live on air.
Okay, cool. So I can do it?
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
I'm going to drop this bed music. There you go.
Okay, cool. So this is the first single I've put out. It's a song called Tonight. And it's about dealing with this industry, that this crazy, crazy world that we're involved in, because it's quite hectic, you know.
It can be, yeah.
It is intense. Okay. Say goodbye, my friend. We've only just begun. Those crazy days have drifted on. We'll still have our fun. Now everything's got too real, and I want to hide away. This is the reasons for the way you feel. Be my own tonight.
No, that can't be the end. Are you joking?
I've cut it short. I cut it short.
Oh, did you cut it short? Yes. Oh, why did you do that? Well, who wants to cut it short? I hate it when people cut songs short, especially on the radio. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't do that. Disclaimer, Albert had to cut it short. But is that just a little teaser what we can expect in
teaser.
The wake-up?
So you go check it out. I've also just launched the video, and the song is called Tonight. So if you just go and Google in Albert Frost Tonight in YouTube, you're going to go watch the video.
I love that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, sometimes you can lie to people, you know what I mean, like on air. But I really, really dig that. That is so awesome.
Thanks so much.
Is it available on iTunes as well?
It's available on iTunes, and also there are shop links from my Facebook site, and you can check it out on Twitter.
Okay.
All the kind of thing. It's all out there.
So how many songs do you have on the album?
It's 11 tracks, all original. I co-wrote a lot of the lyrics. Sorry, with various people. I did two songs with Hunter Kennedy. From Fog of Blisikar and the Yevils, you know, it was like amazing songwriter, jeez.
Okay.
Because I'm an instrumentalist, and even though I had the lyrical ideas, because some of this stuff has been coming with me for so long, it was hard for me to have a perspective, like an objective view of actually if it's good or not, or if it fits in or not. So I had to draw on my friends to help me. My brother-in-law is Robin Auld, who's also a very well-known South African musician, and he actually helped co-write this song that I just played. And also a guy called Simon Orange is one of my former bandmates in the Blues Brews.
Okay.
Because I actually stepped away from the Blues Brews last year after 21 years because I've no time. I'm too busy doing my own thing. I'm in the weird position where I am a session musician as well. So I've got like 5 or 6 projects that I shuffle around through the year because doing blues and doing, you know, kind of, it's not a commercial thing. So the only way to survive is to diversify.
Okay.
Which is great. And I've also, yet again, brought all that stuff into one album. So I'm stoked.
22 years.
So along with the new album as well, you're going on tour soon.
That's correct. I am launching the album up here in Joburg. But if I could quickly ramble down the dates, do you guys mind?
No, not at all. Go for it.
Okay, downloading files. Downloading files.
Buffering. Death by buffer.
So I'm doing 2 launches in Cape Town at the Fugard Theatre. And it's the small room upstairs, so it's going to be an intimate affair. Okay, first, the launch is the greatest musicians that I've ever worked with. I mean, the standing joke in the industry is that the Albert Frost Trio consists of more than 20 members officially. I've actually got their names, you know. And of them, of all the bass players and drummers that I've worked with, these two guys are, it's the three of us have this amazing chemistry. And what we're trying to do is to stay true to the music, is we kind of, the music dictates what happens. So we can stretch parts out and then we kind of play around. And that we also experienced that, you know, our like in-house saying is that the worst thing that can happen on stage is nothing can go wrong. And it's literally like that, because I mean, it's the only other two guys that I know that have played every day for 20 years been on stages, you know. So the 21st and the 22nd of April at the Fugard Theatre, there's still some tickets
next
available.
Next
week, Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
And then on the 25th, I'm playing in Bloemfontein at the Arsefool Club. It's funny saying arsefool.
You can say arsefool,
And anyway, moving along swiftly. And on again, the two big ones, and that's up for Joburg, that I need support on. On the 26th, I'm playing at the Atterbury Theatre, and that's in Pretoria. Mm-hmm. If you guys know, it's just on Linwood Drive, and it's the most beautiful theatre I've ever played in. It's quite a new theatre. It's spectacular sound. It's pin drop. Fantastic, you know, it's
where acoustics actually, and everything, like,
so that's more of the for the astute kind of listener that wants to come experience some guitar music and see guys that can really do what they do.
Okay.
And then the next night, that's on the 26th of April, and on the 27th I'm playing at the Good Luck Bar, and that's kind of more the let it all hang out a bit. The Good Luck Bar, of course, in Joburg.
Where is that?
It's in Fox Street, I think. It's the old shed.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a really, really cool. So that's more like kind of the younger, like hipper kind of place. So that's a spot where you bring your chummy and you can hang out with the beer and listen to the music, you know.
Okay. So that's the 27th.
That's
cool.
That's on the 27th, which is going to be a great evening, I suspect. And then, hang on. Buffering.
We've got to scroll down the page.
On the 28th, I'm doing, the 28th is very important. The Barnyard Theatre in the Gateway Centre in Durban.
Okay.
So I'm also trying to get that one going, which is also more of the theatre kind of thing. And then the next night on the 30th, the 29th, yeah, 30th.
Jeez.
God, I'm so confused already.
Yo, you don't leave much much time, eh?
No, no, it's all bam. It's, bam, it's bam, the bam, thing bam. With these guys as well. Like, everyone's so busy that you have to go bang, you know, and just hit it. But then the night after the 27th, the 28th, the 29th is at the Chairman, which is a really, really cool venue in Durban. It's the kind of more of an urban kind of vibe right in the center. And that's also kind of the juxtaposed venue that's kind of more laid back and you can come and enjoy a drink and you don't have to shut up and put your phone off. Kind of vibe. And then on the way down, we're heading on the 30th. I'm playing in Caversham Mall, which is in the Midlands, which is quite cool. And then also on the 1st, doing a bizarre gig in Prince Albert, which is in the middle of nowhere.
No, I was there last year. Prime Circle were there, and they have that rocking
in the
stadium.
Theater.
Yeah.
Was it in that theater?
What's it called?
Oh, God. What's it called? Ach, yeah.
You'll tweet us, and you'll let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That venue
the showroom theater.
Like, that's it, yes.
That's it. Oh, I'm back.
There you go.
And it's bizarre. Like, this guy built this totally kitted out theater. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an old school, like 50s kind of vibe about it. And there's a bit of a festival happening there. So
okay,
if you want more of a personal thing, that's the place to be.
Shit, so it's going to be a busy 3 weeks for you.
Yeah, busy month, and there's like a lot for everyone to go. Like if you want different vibes, different
because that's always been my thing. I've got a very diverse crowd, and it's nice to be able to go, okay, guys, here's a bit of a newish thing from me. So come and check it out.
Awesome.
That's the idea.
So if they want to revisit those dates, they can obviously listen to this podcast again.
Yeah,
or they can visit your website. Eh?
Yeah, the website, albertfrost.com. Otherwise, the banners are up on any of the Facebook pages. It's just up at Albert Frost and I'm like a rash. So I'd appreciate the support.
Well, I'm going to go and get that album as soon as I get back to work.
Damn straight.
Man, this was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Guys,
man,
thank you very, very much. Totally enjoyed it.
Pleasure.
I almost want to ask you to play another song. But I know you have another interview that you have to get
to.
Yeah,
sadly, I've got to run.
So if you want to...
time.
Yeah, no, of course. So if you want to listen to him, just go and check him out on Apple Music or iTunes or get the album somewhere.
Yes, and
legally,
some stuff on
YouTube. Yeah.
At this stage of the game, I just want people to hear it.
That's exactly what we'll do. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll catch you very, very soon.
Cool.
No doubt. Cool. Don't you dig that? The new song from Crazy White Boy. Some more local music right here on The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. It is 10 to 2. And our beloved, the one that we miss often because she's jet setting all over the place, Miss Jennifer Sue, is out and about, and this is what she is getting up to. Have a listen to this.
My name is South Africa 2016. We're here at the Cell C Polo launch. This is really exciting. So Polo Johannesburg, May the 8th. Tell me about the event.
Well, it's going to be on the 8th of May and at Waterfall. Yeah. So it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you look absolutely beautiful tonight. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing Noreen. Yeah, I'm wearing a dress that Noreen got for me. It's a beautiful dress. Something we didn't actually plan, but we got it out just 30 minutes before the event, but I absolutely feel gorgeous in it.
So how has it been since the time you won Miss South Africa till now? It's been a whirlwind, hasn't it?
It has been a drastic change of a lifestyle, first of all, and just getting used to everything. But other than that, it's been a beautiful experience, and I'm having the time of my life.
Amazing. I'm just loving the people that you're meeting. It must
exactly
be incredible.
Everything from adults to kids. Oh, it's been amazing. It's an absolute pleasure being Miss South Africa.
And are you going to wear a hat for the Cell C Polo?
Well, people have to wait and see. I'm not going to give away anything about that day, but I'm very excited about what I'm wearing on that day.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you there on May the 8th. Yeah, this is going to be the big event, Waterfall, the Cell C Johannesburg Polo.
Shame. Sweet.
We had her on the show before she won. So
she wasn't that ditzy.
I think shame. You know what? It could be all the...
attention.
All the attention and all the people trying to get... have some time with her.
Sweet.
Shame. Just, don't be a bitch now.
I'm not. I'm just... You'll have to wait and see.
You could be a pageant queen.
Thank you. Oh my word, I can't believe I won. Anyway, so movies. big week.
So it's a big week for movies. So
look for the bare necessities.
Do you think they're gonna sing it in the movie?
They do whistle it in the trailer.
Yeah, they do whistle it. I'm actually planning to go see it this weekend on IMAX theaters.
Ooh, good choice.
So that's what I actually thought of doing, because I thought, okay, I can go and watch it, you know, the premiere, the, you know, like the media release. But then, you know, you go and you're there with your journo friends, and then you go home and you have to go tell people how awesome this movie is. And they're like, yeah, but you've already watched it without us. So I thought, okay, I'll sit that one out and I'll go and watch it with the family and then take it from there and then give you how awesome it is on the big screen, but at the IMAX theater.
Yeah. No, I look forward to your review. I think it's going to be an incredible movie. I used to, in primary school, I told you, I played
Balu. Yeah, you told me
Balu.
You played Balu.
And the promise was that I would get a cup of Coke, or a can of Coke, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
If I did the role justice. And I think I did, but I've never acted since. Anyway, moving along swiftly, but we'll get that review. But what I found quite interesting, and this has been released like just a couple of, when was this? A few hours ago. Avatar. Has been pushed back to 2018, but James Cameron, in pushing it back, has made a huge, huge announcement. And that announcement is that 4 sequels of Avatar are going to be released in order like this: 2018, 2020, 2022, and ending in 2023. Do you know, I have not seen the first one still.
Is it?
Hides, hangs head in shame.
I did watch, and I'm not really I'm not a sci-fi person in general.
Okay.
But I actually, there was such a huge hype about it, you know, it was filmed in 3D and all of that. And I watched it, and I actually thought it was an amazing movie, and I felt that it doesn't need a sequel at all. We don't need 4 more Avatars at all, because people who are familiar with the movie, you know, it's about the human race, they go to this other planet, and Brenda was talking about sustainability, and that's what they touch on in the movie. And I just sort of felt, why do we need to go back again and watch this 4 more times? It's almost like going to watch Titanic 4 more times.
Well, there's only so many times the ship can sink.
Exactly. So that's sort of like Avatar. How many times can they save a planet?
Okay. So are you saying that I should wait until 2023 to see the last one, or should I watch the first one and then let it go?
I think, you know what? Watch the first one and actually let it go.
Okay, cool.
That's my advice to you, because when I saw that headline, I actually saw that headline last night to say 4 more Avatar movies, and I was thinking, but hold on. How long ago did you tell us that you were bringing more movies that still hasn't happened?
Yeah, because when was it released? Long ago.
Years ago. I was still in varsity.
That wasn't too long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
I mean, you are only like 21.
And a little bit more. Not too much more. Close to
cool.
30, but
so I think that will be very cool to look out for in 2018. If you can't wait that long, then just go and rent the DVD and do your thing.
Just do your thing. And just other movies that are coming that are on. Dying. Oh, well, you are dying.
What's happening here? Got a little frog in my throat. Mm. Beautiful.
I was just going on about how there's quite a few, you know, I'm looking forward to the summer, blockbusters are coming out. Suicide Squad.
Ooh,
Will
that's
Smith,
gonna be amazing.
Margot Robbie, and obviously
Jared Leto.
Oh, that's just that picture.
It's freaky, eh?
Just that, yeah, those promo pics of him. He looks insane. But we'll chat about that another time.
Lip sync battles is also going to be very interesting. I think we should talk about that in more detail next week, because we've run out of time.
Just to see how it's been received by everyone and see how it's going on.
Yeah, but you can tweet us at Jason Von Berg.
And then also Nikita is at Heart Nikita. So if you try and find me there, it's Nikita Camacho.
Otherwise, we'll be back right here on The Buzz on CliffCentral.com next week, Friday, between 1 and 2. O'Neill is next on Cliff Central. Thank you for joining us. Have a good week, friend.
You too. See you then.
Bye-bye, everybody. Everybody, you have a good weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.